Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How will technology change with 5G? And when is 5G coming to South Dakota? What is the future of rural internet? Jacqueline Severin is the host of Making a Living, and she joins us in the Kirby Family Studio now for a recap of a recent panel discussion she hosted on the topics. Jacqueline, thanks for coming in today to bring us up to speed.
Thank you. Good one.
All right. So who are your panelists? Because you really had some heavy hitters on this panel.
Yeah, we had Dr. Jose Maria Griffiths. She's the Dakota State University president. We had Vernon Brown. He's the vice president of marketing at SDN Communications. We had John Peterson. He's the chief technology officer at Midco. And we had Paulton Hagen, who is the mayor of Sioux Falls.
And we start with some definitions because still not everybody knows what 5G is. So when we're talking 5G, so we use the same language, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so just a, you know, a recap for everybody. 5G is the next generation of cellular wireless technology. It's supposed to be more faster. It's supposed to be faster and more responsive. And Dr. Griffiths on the panel, you know, again, Dakota State University president, she really pointed out that it's a combination between wired and wireless technologies. So it's not just wireless. It uses small cells, and the fiber, the cables go to these small cells. And then from the small cells, that's what sends the wireless signals to your devices like your smartphone.
All right. So how does technology change with a 5G?
Our panelists really, like, they really said it's going to change everything. Again, Dr. Griffiths says, you know, 5G is going to advance things not just incrementally, but exponentially. So before with these, the cellular wireless technology, you know, with 1G, we had calls, 2G texting, 3G internet, 4G video. It was kind of, you know, stair-stepping, and this is just kind of going to leapfrog us forward. So 5G really is going to be able to give us the ability to connect things, more things at once to the internet. So that's going to allow for driverless cars on the road, advances in artificial intelligence. It's going to give us smartphones, our smart homes. We already have smartphones, obviously. it's going to give us smart homes. Dr. Griffiths said, you know, we focus on how fast it's going to be, but low latency is really going to be key here. So latency is the time it takes to get a signal and get feedback. So it's kind of that it's going to have less of a delay between your smartphone and connecting to the internet and getting a signal back and forth. So Dr. Griffiths says this reduction in latency is really going to be one of the biggest benefits of 5G.
The latency times for 5G are going to come down to 1 millisecond. We operate, and we think it's live, at 13 milliseconds when we look at something. Wow. Yeah. So it's going down way below even human perception. And that allows us to think that it is actual real time. It's not quite real time, but it appears to be real time. And that's going to enable a whole bunch of things.
All right, so I'm going to speak for all the people who are listening who say, but I don't want a smartphone, and I don't want a driverless car, because not all of it is appealing to everybody, but there's some real benefits. Let's talk about what some of those benefits that maybe a lot of people could get behind a 5G are.
Yeah, so maybe you don't want a driverless car, but one of the benefits is going to be in healthcare, the panelists said, particularly telemedicine. Doctors will be able to monitor patients remotely. That could definitely help, especially with an elderly population that maybe wants to stay in their homes longer. The behavioral health, Vernon Brown with SDN Communications says Avera Health is already seeing great outcomes for people who are able to just kind of quickly go online and connect if they have a mental health issue or a behavioral health issue with their physician or with their psychiatrist or therapist, because it kind of lessens that barrier between getting to your appointment. So it's going to be beneficial, especially for rural areas. There's some of the panels said that there might be able to do remote surgery. So a surgeon in California can be doing a surgery through the network and through robotics here in South Dakota. Pretty interesting. Also, virtuality. The goggles are kind of huge right now. 5G's will allow those goggles maybe to get smaller and more mobile. Law enforcement is another area that we could see some advancements, especially with body cam footage. So Sioux Falls Mayor Paulton Hankin says, right now, Sioux Falls police officers upload their body cam footage at the end of the day. But with 5G, this is going to allow dispatchers to see body cam footage in real time as it's happening.
they could be watching what the officer is seeing and be calling for backup based on what they're seeing, based on shots fired, based on officer down. They know and can see firsthand because of the high-speed stream that they'd be getting. So it could create even that little bit of gap in response time can be a life or death matter. So that's one area where I think you could see a tremendous efficiency and lives saved with law enforcement.
And I think that bite tells us exactly, there are problems and challenges that we haven't even considered yet. So, for example, if a dispatcher is that connected to the police officer, then what is the sort of dispatcher's response time, the mental health, the training that needs to happen as the dispatcher feels like he or she is right there with the police officer? What are some of those concerns surrounding 5G?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, with any new technology, there's going to be maybe some issues and concerns. One of them, of course, is going to be security. Dr. Grivas says, Dakota State University is big, obviously, in cybersecurity. And she says, the more connections we have to the internet, the more entry points and weak links, for hackers to get there and get information and take over something even. Dakota State University is already working on this, and they want to be a huge part in making 5G secure and safe. Privacy, there's more devices are going to be interacting with our data, and we're going to be sharing more data. And so, the U.S. is kind of behind on setting policy in this area, and so that's going to be kind of a debate, and hopefully the U.S. will address eventually as well on how our privacy is shared and what can be shared and what's going to happen with
you
that.
You think about a smartphone, especially, or a smart home. See, I said it too.
Yeah,
smart phone. The smart home in the sense that what is, already with the little vacuum cleaners that sort of map your home, that map is, of course, uploaded. And people know a whole lot about the size of your home. Imagine everything that they will know, everything the marketers will know about your home and how you interact with your home.
Exactly.
With a smart home. Those are big things that need to be determined.
Exactly. And like I said, the European Union's kind of already addressed this. So it's something the U.S. is going to have to talk about now, too. And then, that's kind of an ethical debate as well. But there's also going to be ethical debates around some of the technology that's going to come around this. One of the panelists, talked about driverless cars. If a driverless car hits somebody, whose fault is it? Who's going to be paying the damages? That's a big debate. There's also, right now they are able to kind of distinguish between like a dog and a person and a child or an adult. And if they're in a situation where they have to choose to hit the dog over the person, like, are they going to be able to do that? And how are they going to program that? And, how are they going to choose? Is the artificial intelligence going to be able to make that decision?
Which means somebody is programming it to make those decisions, which means we have to have some kind of common understanding that it is better to hit a dog than it is to hit a person, which I'm not saying is a common understanding, but that might be a good example.
That's the debate, right? Yeah. We have to get together and decide.
All right. So when does 5G come to South Dakota?
So Verizon has announced that it's going to roll out 5G mobile in Chicago and Minneapolis next month. So it's probably going to be a little bit before it gets to South Dakota. The panelists said probably not until 2020. SDN Communications
has... It's not that far away.
It's not that far away. And hopefully, that's that. And maybe it will be a little longer than that, but that's kind of what they're shooting for. SDN Communications has already started installing small cells and small cell towers around Sioux Falls and some other places in South Dakota. Madison and Sioux Falls they're really trying to push to get 5G here as fast as possible.
How come? What's the competitive advantage to getting it here faster?
Yeah.
What's the rush?
I say this as a
not an early adopter of technology in general. Like, I'm fine with a driverless car.
Right. Yeah.
I don't need to be the first person to try it. Like, work out all the kinks and then I'll come aboard. But these are cities who are really saying we're driving forward. Why?
Yeah. So like you said, the economic and competitive advantage is just the fact of attracting people here, attracting businesses here, keeping people maybe in rural settings if they have a good internet connection. If they have a good internet connection in Sioux Falls, like, they can find jobs online. And I think the biggest thing is attracting and attracting students to ESU if they're connected with 5G and they have a good program. The panelists are saying those are a group of people that are entrepreneurial and hopefully will stick around here and start businesses.
Did the panel think that we are prepared to be innovators, or are we at risk of being guinea pigs?
You know, that's a good question, and that didn't come up at all. I think that they thought this was going to be, we are going to be innovators rather than guinea pigs. And they didn't, they think the more the concern was being left behind. We don't want to be left behind. And we are, and they said to not, you know, not just for South Dakota, but for the entire U.S. that this is already being rolled out in a lot of countries faster. So we are already kind of behind as far as deploying 5G. Right.
And speaking of behind, let's talk about rural internet, because what about the rural internet coverage?
And so it's interesting because just after this panel, a new study came out from the University of South Dakota and Old Dominion University, which is in Virginia, if you're wondering where that is. They got together and they looked at broadband rural internet access in South Dakota. And they kind of looked at too and how possibly 5G can help with that. And a part of that study kind of, you know, addressed where we're at right now. And they ranked South Dakota as 34th in connectivity in rural areas for the entire United States. So we have a little bit of work to do. So we're not last, but we're 34th. And they also in the study found that our broadband internet, especially in rural areas, is pretty spotty. And so that means that one county, even if it is mostly a rural county, could have really good internet access, and the next county over has bad internet access. And so it's not kind of evenly distributed, you know, across the state. And the panel really said, you know, if this isn't addressed, it's the digital divide is just going to get worse and rural people are going to get left behind, basically.
And we're hearing that phrase more and more, the digital divide.
Yeah.
It's similar to how you hear income inequality. And there's a lot lurking behind that term, digital divide, in the sense of that people can really abandon those rural areas even more quickly than is already, you know, a challenge faced by many rural communities. Talk a little bit about what the state is trying to do to address it.
Yeah, and Governor Kristi Noem has said, you know, this is going to be one of her priorities. She asked for $5 million for a rural broadband fund, which legislators did approve in their final budget this year. The panelists said, like, this is going to cost much more than $5 million in order to really address the issue. It could cost up to $300 million to address the issue.
It's a big gap.
Yeah. And they say Minnesota, they said, you know, has already been working on this, and they have pledged that they're going to spend $70 million next year to help get rural broadband access up to speed. There's really no quick fixes. It's kind of a long-term issue.
Tell me how 5G helps, though, because you said at the beginning of this that 5G is poised to help increase the rural broadband coverage. How? What's the connection?
And that really comes from that study done from the University of South Dakota and Old Dominion University. And the 5G is, and I'll talk a little bit about fixed wireless, but the 5G is going to be different. It will help, but it will be different from rural areas because it's going to have less capacity, which is the amount of data that can be transferred. So 5G is really probably going to help more in urban areas, but it will also sort of make a difference in rural areas as well. And that's mainly through fixed wireless. So fixed wireless is where you have fiber running to, and it's already being implemented in places. It doesn't have 5G yet, but it will have. That's where the 5G will come. So fiber is run to a tower or fixed location. A lot of examples they use are like a grain elevator. Mm-hmm. So in a rural area, so you have the fiber running there, and then from that grain elevator, the wireless internet is broadcast to, you know, a home or a business or a set of homes and businesses. And obviously the state is trying to put money towards this. The federal government does have some grants, grant money that they're setting aside for rural broadband. MIDCO has applied for some grants and received that. John Peterson with MIDCO, he says this has been something that they're really focusing on. They're focusing on getting fixed wireless to rural areas. And he says they're using a strategy called Edge Out.
The thought is, if you've got a pocket of homes, it's too expensive to serve them with fiber. But if you start by serving them with wireless, it helps justify a future fiber build. And from there, you can just keep hopscotching. Now, it'll take a little while, but we feel that that's the best solution to get the service that they need now instead of nothing and build it up over time.
And you notice he talked about fiber there as being right. what they really want. And fixed wireless is a solution, but all the panels said that the fixed wireless is a temporary solution. What really would be best is that if there's fiber to every house and every business in the state, which obviously costs a lot of money in order to do that, right? And in order for that to happen, all the panelists said, well, the federal government really has to step up and spend the money to get rural broadband to everybody.
Is there a precedent for this?
Yes. So that's a good point. So, you know, Vernon Brown, he talked about this. Again, he's with SDN Communications. And, you know, he said the precedent was electricity in the 1930s. So, you know, he said then, you know, the federal government, he says the federal government needs to, you know, treat broadband internet access like the United States treated electricity in the 1930s when FDR was president.
Our country made a decision that they weren't going to leave rural America out of telephone service and electrical service. And they put on a universal service charge that a few pennies of your bill would go into this fund, and that fund would be used to help where it is high cost, like South Dakota, where you have to go long distances to serve customers. And that's what built out electricity and telephone in South Dakota and all of rural America. We need a federal policy that says we want ubiquitous broadband coverage across the country for the safety of our country, but also just for the economic development of our country. And that's where our federal government has failed thus far. They have not figured out a policy like that to serve everyone.
Big stuff on the horizon. We've been doing some history stories where we look back at blizzards and how people who didn't have phone service yet and how, you know, cars hadn't advanced. So someday we'll be looking back at, 5G technology and rural internet and saying, remember when?
Yep,
it's
exactly.
coming fast.
Yep, exactly. Absolutely.
Jacqueline Severin, the show is Making a Living. You can see it at sdpb.org. Do you know the direct website off the top of your head? It's like /making a living.
Anyway, you can, I'm not sure. Yeah.
So we'll put a link up on our website so you can
find it. I'll remember that for next time.
Yeah, me too. Jacqueline, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.